Hello, everyone, and welcome to War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast coming to you, as always, from deep within the Outer Rim, far beyond the watchful eyes of the Galactic Empire. My name is John Mark Talley. Joining me, as always, is my co-host,
Garrett K. Jones. How's everybody doing?
Well, over here, we are doing wonderful. It was a beautiful day here in central Illinois, probably 60s here. Just a nice spring day.
Yeah, it's about the same here. The weather here, I mean, it was nice. Like, I didn't really have to wear a jacket for very long this morning, and it is currently, it's 69 degrees outside.
Nice.
Yeah, it's beautiful. It's sunny. It's nice, crisp, clear weather. And so, your average temperatures on Naboo.
Yeah, it's 58 degrees here.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah, a little bit cooler, but it is a little bit later in the evening than it is for you.
That is true.
Anyway, we're not here. This is not the Weather Channel podcast.
No, it is not.
Or the Star Wars weather podcast. Or any type of podcast.
We could do a couple of episodes on the weather of Star Wars. That would be fun.
That would be. It would be fun if we could find a meteorologist that was also a Star Wars nerd. That would be fun. Have them come on. By the way, if you're a meteorologist who also has to be a huge Star Wars nerd, here's your invitation. No, we are here to talk about the latest episode of The Bad Batch, The Return.
Yes, this is the fifth episode of season 3. And this was a fun episode.
I agree. There's some things I wanted to talk about, but I agree. This was another fun episode. The Crosshair returns to the same place where he killed the Imperial officer.
Yep.
And you saw some healing in this episode. My first question, I'm just going to go right out. Do you think that it was too early to have that sort of this type of episode, or do you think they should have built the tension up a little bit more between Crosshair and Hunter, especially?
Well, the tension's been building up since season one,
you had
that tension showing up all throughout season two, and because every time Omega brought up Crosshair and trying to bring him back into the fold, like, Hunter was always quick to dismiss it and say she doesn't know what she's talking about, stuff like that. And yeah. I think there's a good emotional payoff on this one because it was not one of those episodes where, like, it felt kind of cheated or out of place. It was a much better I think it was well done. I think it was well deserved.
Yeah, I found it interesting, too, that it seemed like Wrecker very quickly accepted Crosshair back in the fold.
Yes.
Like, he was very quick. And I think that kind of plays to Wrecker's personality. Wrecker is very fun-loving, very, you know, seems like they have a very forgiving personality. And because I think also because of what happened to him in season one, with the chip activating and that episode, that he is much more understanding.
Oh yeah. He's definitely more empathetic.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
the thing I liked about it is that we got, you know, cause every season there's at least one big episode where they have some kind of like giant monster involved. And this was that episode for season three.
Yes, I liked it.
I thought it required them to trust. Like, Hunter was in a situation where he couldn't get out of it. He was trapped beneath the ice. And he had to trust that Crosshair was going to take care of him and make sure that he was safe.
Yeah.
And if it is this ultimate trust fall exercise, because if he didn't have... If Crosshair didn't follow through on helping him, they, you know, it would be the perfect opportunity to let him die and say, oh, well, the creature got to him before I could help him.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it was also, it sees this much emotion from Crosshair. Crosshair has always been the other than Tech, the most emotionally detached.
Yeah. He's very
close of the crew. You know, which being the sniper, he almost had to be. And he was the one that was usually away from, like when they were doing missions, he'd be somewhere else away from everybody, kind of by himself in a sniper position, while the rest of the crew would be infiltrating or doing whatever. So it was very cool to see. Everything okay?
Yeah, sorry, I was getting a phone call.
Oh. Imperial agents calling you?
Yeah, we'll go with that. It was a lawyer.
Yeah. Anyway. But yeah, to see this much emotional growth, and which we've seen that a lot, especially this season, I think, from Crosshair.
Yes.
You know, showing a little bit more of a softer side, and while still being Crosshair.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's still totally being his usual surly self, but we're getting more out of this than we normally do, and I think that was great.
What do you think the payoff is going to be with the trembling hand? Because I think they've really kind of been like laying a lot of hints that that's going to be a major. Now again, it could be a total MacGuffin.
I don't think it's a MacGuffin. I think this is, I honestly think that what's happening with Crosshair is that the clones were supposed to live for X number of years. Now, the majority of the clones were meant to have a long lifespan.
Yeah.
Despite the rapid, accelerated growth process.
Yeah.
But all the clones in Clone Force 99 have mutations to them, and yep. Whenever you change, like the thing about DNA and all that is that there's always a give and take with mutations that take place. So like for example, with Crosshair, his genetic mutation allowed him the dexterity and the patience and the visual acuity to be a really solid sniper, probably beyond any of the other clones that had been made. Cause otherwise they all would have been the same.
Yeah.
But the drawback is, in order to focus his eyes to that extent, there has to be some kind of give and take, because nature is very efficient.
Yeah.
And so in this regard, I think it is leaving him open to some kind of neurological disorder that is it's starting to culminate now. It's either that or because of the mutations, maybe their lifespan isn't as long as other clones.
Mm. That's interesting. Yeah. Oh. Yeah, it can be really interesting to see, you know, or if this was something, again, something that was put in Crosshair specifically while he was a prisoner.
Oh, it very well could be. That would be, and actually, given Hemlock's, you know, genetic manipulation of DNA, I would say that would be also a fairly safe bet.
Yeah.
For a plot point. It's we won't know until the season culminates.
Yeah, this is true.
But it's fun to speculate and see just what might be the case in that situation.
Yeah. And again, this time we got a full episode without Hemlock, I believe. Was Hemlock in this episode?
Yeah. No, he was not in the episode. In fact, it did not talk about anybody other than the Bad Batch in this episode. It's just the team.
Yeah. 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 They mentioned going to the facility and finding the planet. Tantus, but you know, we had to return to it. I can never remember the name of the planet where they're kind of based out of.
I want to say it's like Pabu or something like that.
Yeah, returned there. It was interesting, you know, seeing Crosshair there.
Yeah,
and you know, kind of how he takes to it. or doesn't really take to it. You know, it's, and the, in many ways, the survivor guilt. I think we get a lot of survivor guilt from Crosshair.
I do too. And I,
yeah,
I
maybe, think maybe if survivor guilt's not the right word, but
like, it's not well, there might be some survivor's guilt because he is one of two clones that escaped the facility on Tantus.
Yeah.
The other one being Omega. Omega, yeah. she's not feeling guilty so much as she feels responsible that she needs to go back and rescue these brothers.
Yeah.
And which is, I think, a really kind of a cool thing for her. She really wants to help as many clones as she possibly can, because she witnessed what happened on Kamino. So, but with Crosshair, I think you're right. I think there is a bit of survivor's guilt because he escaped, but I also think there is a level of,
he feels culpable in everything that's going on.
There's a culpability there because he's been working with the Empire, who has been systematically removing clones from service. Mm-hmm. Treating them like second class citizens.
And I think he went in like so many people with, you know, of other time, where you go into a situation thinking it's going to be one thing, and then when you get there you find out it's something totally different. I think he went into the Empire and even said, you know, I did what good soldiers do, I followed orders. And I mean, that was the whole thing in season one, was good soldiers follow orders. Good soldiers follow orders.
Right, because that was the command that was being triggered by the control chip.
Yeah. Yeah. And even after he took it out, he still had this idea of, I'm a soldier, I follow orders. It doesn't matter, you know, what I think or not. But then, you know, he even said, you know, I did things and I loved Hunter's response of, you know, we've all done things we regretted, and we've all, you know, that was just a, like you said, it was just a good episode.
Yeah, it was. And I think it's interesting how, like, our last time on this particular planet, we had no idea just what kind of dangers were out there on the surface. Like, I know that in the previous episode, there was some, some like canine or wolf type creatures that were out there that were attacking other soldiers
I find it interesting. Now, I know this was probably done before the movie came out, obviously, but that at the same time that the movie Dune, which has giant sandworms, is out in theaters, Dune 2.
Yeah.
This episode comes out with basically giant ice worms.
That look I thought that was kind of interesting.
Eerily similar to the sandworms from Dune.
Yes.
Which, of course, I mean, I believe Lucas has even said that Dune was a big he used Dune as sort of, it was definitely an inspiration for him.
Yes, it definitely.
I mean, there's a lot of similarities in the stories, and even my daughter said she saw like a trailer for it. And it's like, that looks a lot like Star Wars. I'm like, well, it kind of does.
That's funny.
There's a reason.
Yep, there is definitely a reason.
There definitely is a reason.
Which, speaking of, I actually ended up seeing Dune Part 2 this last weekend, and I gotta say, it was really epic.
It is, yeah, it is.
I'm glad to see good, solid sci-fi and space opera becoming more of a staple again. It's good to see.
Exactly.
So what was a highlight for you in this particular episode?
Oh, a highlight for me in this particular episode, I definitely would say just the interaction and the sort of healing between Hunter and Crosshair and that dynamic. As far as the particular scene, I still think that the scene where they're being chased by the ice worm, that was really good. Kept me on the edge of my seat the entire time. You weren't sure at this point. You still were hoping that Crosshair would do the right thing, but I think you still were like, because he had many opportunities to leave him and, you know, to come out that, well, Crosshair is actually not a good guy. But I liked the direction that they're going with it. I hope they keep with that. Because I think this is season 3.
Yes.
Yeah. So we had 2 seasons of Crosshair as the main antagonist. And I think that it's time now to get sort of a different antagonist to go after the Bad Batch.
Well, and yeah, Hemlock is providing a really solid antagonist. I'm kind of curious now because we are more than a quarter of the way through season 3, because there's a total of 16 episodes and we're now 5 episodes in. I'm curious to see how this is going to play out now that the band is back together.
Yeah, I'm interested because it seems like in the trailers that we got, we're going to get some sort of new either stormtrooper or clone trooper that's going to go after them. So it seems like you're going to have Hemlock as the main, like, sort of the mind behind everything. And then you're going to have this other stormtrooper or whatever he is as sort of the heavy, like the guy who will physically be going after them and pose more of a physical threat, whereas Hemlock will pose more of a psychological and mental threat. With the brain to kind of be like, you know, go after them, but then this other guy will be more of the physical, which is something that Crosshair kind of done in the past 2 seasons.
Yes, I agree. I think this is going to provide a very interesting dynamic for how this is going to play out. Although at this point, I mean, given the fact that they've got familiarity with that Imperial base, I mean, they could use that to their advantage.
Yeah.
If they really want to. Like, I could foresee them coming back to this location and getting Hemlock to follow them and then turning off the sensors.
Yeah.
And bringing that worm back in.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes. I'm interested to see, and I don't know if I necessarily want it next episode, but at least one episode where Crosshair has to deal with the loss of tech.
Yeah, I think that would be interesting to see,
like, how that plays. Just because they seem to be in many ways very similar as far as they're both very analytical, they're both very calculating.
Yes.
You know, just in different ways. So yeah, that would be I think that'd be really interesting. And we did finally get clarification. Omega is older than Crosshair.
Yes.
She says it in the episode. Yeah. She calls him little brother.
She calls him little brother.
And I'm like, yes. Yes.
I'm like,
oh.
How great is that?
Oh.
Like, oh, that was fun.
Yeah, that was, yeah. Which, yeah. Yes. Crosshair, as she says in Rekka. With that, if anybody, I have relatives that live in New Zealand, and the New Zealanders have a distinct, very, very distinct accent.
Yes, they do.
Anybody who says it sounds like an Australian has never really listened to a New Zealand accent, because it is very distinct.
It very much is. And that's, yeah. So whereas it feels like the clones kind of sound like they're Australian, even though they're, Tamara Morrison was a New Zealander. I think probably the highlight for me in this was seeing the camaraderie return with with the team being back together. Obviously Wrecker is super excited about this because he's got his buddy back, but at the same time, like, they're trying to find this new normal, and but it's really kind of cool to see how quickly they fall into old habits as far as implicitly relying on each other.
I'm gonna be interested to see when the gang hooks back up eventually with Rex, because if you remember in Rebels, when Kanan came back, he had a very visceral response initially to Kanan,
right?
Because Kanan was still a Jedi. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds to Crosshair. If there's going to be any type of negative response, or if because he was a clone who in his mind, like, well, he had the chip, if there'll be a different type of response to him. That'll be interesting.
It will be interesting to see that. Regardless, this is going to be a good season. I think that, like, if things keep going the way they're going, I honestly think that this is going to be a good solid season. Because like I know that some people have been worried about, filler episodes like we had in season two, and this, none of the episodes so far, none of them feel like they are filler. Like, there's been a point and purpose to everything that's been going on. Like, this one, I understand that, going to this Imperial base feels like out of nowhere, but the whole purpose for it is to charge and recalibrate the data pad that that Nala Se gave to Omega, and allows them to get codes again. Now, my question is, if Hemlock knows that Omega has the data pad, and that they have the potential to access or hack anything from that pad, what better way to ensure, some kind of a trap than providing an update that singles out that pad through like some kind of Trojan horse program when they're uploading it and connecting it with that Imperial base? Then it'll track where they've been. It could give them false information, lead them into a trap. And I'm like, that's with the kind of cerebral threat that Hemlock poses, I think that would be something cool to see.
Yeah, that would be. I wonder if we'll see what's her name from last season again. I cannot think of her name. The one that was kind of like they're working for, that
Sid?
Sid. Or if she was just someone for last season and they're going
to... That's a good question. I don't know, because it will be interesting to see how she's incorporated back in, because as far as they're concerned, as far as the Bad Batch is concerned, they're done with her. Like, they don't... Yeah. She betrayed them.
Yeah.
Like, hundreds of a mind to, pretty much offer if possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Yeah. What's the next episode? Is next Wednesday or
It's this coming Wednesday. I don't know what the episode is called yet. We won't know until it drops. Mm. But Wednesday, it'll be there Wednesday morning. And it will be a very interesting episode because at this point we'll be at episode 10 out of 6, or I'm sorry, episode 6 out of 16, and see how it plays out.
It will be it'll be really interesting. I'm hoping they don't do it, but if they were to do a filler episode, I think this would be a place where they would put one in, just because you have so much time. And are you there?
Hold on. I'm getting some kind of interference here. Hold on a second.
Oh.
Okay. I whatever you said.
I didn't hear what you just said either.
Oh boy. I think that's our cue to start wrapping things up then.
I think you're right. The force is telling us to wrap things up here.
Either that or the Empire. They're
on to us.
We're getting wise to that. Yes.
We need to move into the unknown regions. The Outer Rim is too close.
Yes. Unknown regions. Exegol, here we come.
Wait a minute. What?
What? Hey, I'm only suggesting that we absolutely go there in an extreme circumstance.
Okay.
That's not at all Sith-like, is it?
No. Oops. No, not at all.
All right. Well, that's going to do it for us this week. Yeah. Oh, man. So if you're wanting to connect with us, there's a couple ways that you can go about doing it. As far as I'm concerned, you guys can find me on Instagram and X at GKJ_publishing. You can also find me on YouTube. Just look for GKJ Publishing on YouTube. I do a show called The Right Way, where we talk book recommendations, author interviews, and creative writing tips. I have a new episode coming out this Saturday, focusing on writing elegies, as well as I have guest host Matthew Romeo, who's a sci-fi fantasy author, as well as an interview with science fiction author Kay Griffin Peterson.
Awesome. As for us right here, you can get a hold of us, of course. Our email is at warthestars1@gmail.com. That is also our Twitter handle, or X, whatever it's called, as you like to say, Twix, at War of the Stars 1. All other social media, you can find us at War, just search for War of the Stars, a Star Wars podcast. We are part of GNN, that's Geek News Now Network. Just search Geek News Now wherever you find podcast, and you'll find us there. That's about it. Be on the lookout for the return of Star Wars Through the Eyes of a Child. And if you are a history nerd, I am doing a new podcast called The U.S. President Pod, where I will be going through the history of the U.S. presidency from George Washington on. If you're a fan of podcasts like Mike Duncan's The History of Rome, you'll definitely like that one. It's going to be something similar to that. But that will be coming in the near future, too. So that's what's coming on, going on here. So with that said, remember, this is not just my Star Wars. This is not just your Star Wars. This is our Star Wars. Until next time, may the Force be with you.
This is the way.